Morning, everybody. My name is Kel Ivanov, and what I'm going to present today is the results of a study we conducted a few seasons back looking at the effects of EDGE on ant diversity and community composition. Habitat fragmentation is considered by most one of the leading threats to both local and global biodiversity, and one consequence of habitat fragmentation is the creation of transitional zones between the natural habitat that existed in the area prior to fragmentation and the more developed or otherwise disturbed land adjacent to it. As a result of the creation of those transitional zones, a number of abiotic conditions change, including temperature, soil moisture, light intensity, and so forth. And also, biotic interactions do change in those transitional zones, including the movement of exotic species. As a result, the diversity in those zones, those edge habitats, may increase due to the movement of opportunistic generalist species and also due to the increase in the number of available microhabitats. Some species, those with specialized habits, like specialized nesting habits or specialized predators, may decrease in abundance, resulting in different composition at the edge and the habitat interior. Why did we choose ants? There are multiple reasons for that. Their sheer abundance, their important ecosystem functions, their responsiveness to environmental perturbations, and nonetheless, the existence of standard monitoring tools that allow us for relatively fast and inexpensive assessment of their diversity. The aim of our study was therefore to assess the differences, potential differences in diversity and community composition between an edge and a forest interior habitat. The study area is located in the formerly glaciated northeastern part of Ohio, and as you can see at the bottom two pictures, the primarily land use in the area is developed land, mostly residential, and what's left of those forest types that virtually covered the area prior to human settlement are just those small, well-isolated forest patches embedded in that urban matrix. We selected three fragments, one small one about 40 hectares and two large fragments about 900 hectares each around the city of Cleveland, and the predominant forest type in all those three locations is mixed mesophytic forest types dominated by oaks, sugar maple, and beech. In each of those fragments, we selected three transects perpendicular to the forest edge, and we sampled at seven locations starting from the forest edge and moving into the interior. Each sample represents 1 square meter of leaf litter taken from the forest floor. The litter was sifted in the field, brought into the lab, and loaded into those funny looking extractors called Winkler extractors. They were left to operate for 72 hours, and the ants were separated from all the extracted arthropods, mounted, and identified to species level. Out of the more than 4,500 individuals we collected, we identified 29 species, seven of which, highlighted in yellow, we only found at the forest edge, and the ones highlighted in blue, four species were only found in the forest interior. In addition, prior to analysis, we conducted a cluster analysis on the classic Sorensen index of similarity, which revealed a good split between an edge community, the one marked in yellow, and a forest interior marked in green. The edge community was consisting of the samples taken in the 2, 5, and 10 meters from the edge. And we used the pool data among those two large groupings in our subsequent analyses. Using sample-based rarefaction, we compared the community richness among the two groupings, which revealed an increased species richness at the edge habitat as compared to the interior. However, those differences were not significant as shown by the overlap of the 95% confidence intervals. In addition, we compared the small-scale species richness or the species density between the edge and the core. Similarly to the species richness, species density was elevated at the forest edge. However, the differences again were not significant. Abundance were more or less identical between the edge and the core locations. Then we compared the richness, the small scale species richness and abundance between all sampling points starting from the edge and moving into the interior. When we plotted both on one graph, the one at the bottom, what we found quite interesting was a drop in both species density, represented by those blue triangles, and the abundance at about 25 meters from the edge. We believe that drop represents a transitional zone between the edge community on one side and the more intact forest community on the other. Looking at the species composition differences, we conducted a second cluster analysis, this time using the Chell-Sorensen index of similarity corrected for abundances. The split was similar to that when we were using the Sorensen's classic index of similarity, though not always the relationships between within those groups were the same. In addition, we conducted analysis of similarity, which revealed that the differences between those two communities are significant. In addition, this slide is more or less just a transition to the one you see next, which can get quite confusing, but what's plotted on this slide is the number or the proportion of shared species between the 2 meter sample and the remaining six distances from the edge. If you look at the top left of the graph, you can see that 100% of the species were obviously shared with itself, that about 70% of the species were shared with the 5 and the 10 meter samples, and less than 50% were shared with the two sites located at the forest, in deep into the forest interior. This graph represents our 7 sampling distances. May get quite confusing, but just to help you a little bit, provides pretty good evidence for, again, split between an edge community highlighted in yellow and the forest interior community highlighted in blue. In order to look for species-specific responses to those edge effect, we plotted the relative abundance of all species, and what's shown on this slide are the species that reach maximum abundance at the forest edge. About half of those species, 7, these 5 plus these 2, were only found at the forest edge. The remaining species, though reaching maximum abundance at the forest edge, were able to move and penetrate all the way into the forest interior. 4 of the species that were located at the forest core were only found there and never were found at the forest edge. The remaining species, similarly to the edge community, reached maximum abundance at the forest core but were able to move and were found all the way into the forest edge. Lastly, we wanted to look at the possible differences between small and large fragments, and what we found, which is shown on the graph on the left, is increased community evenness in the smaller fragments as compared to the large ones. We believe that at least partially this difference may be explained by species-specific responses to edge effects in small and large fragments. For example, two of the most common species, Aphenogaster picea and Myrmecina americana, not only in the two most common species, not only in our study sites, but also in Northeast Ohio, showed different responses. In the large fragments, they were almost entirely located at the forest core, while in the small fragments, they were able to move and were found with similar abundances between the edge and the core sites. In addition, some of the more typical edge species, like Tapinoma sessile and Camponata subarbutus, were confined just to the edge in the large fragments, and in the smaller ones, they were able to move and again penetrate deeper into the core, resulting in more even community composition. In conclusion, what we found is that the small and large scale species richness is elevated at the forest edge, but not significantly different from that of the forest core. Abundance was not different between the core and in the edge. We found the existence of a edge community that differs in compositions from that of the forest core. And we found what we believe is a transitional zone between the edge and the forest interior community located at about 25 meters from the edge. And lastly, that smaller fragments showed greater evenness or more uniform species distributions, which were a result at least the different responses of some species to edge effects in small and large fragments. And with that, I want to thank everybody and the people that helped me to make this project possible. And I'll take any questions. The question was, why didn't we use pitfall traps? In a prior study that we conducted about a few seasons before this one, we used a comparison between pitfall traps and Winkler samples, and we found that Winkler samples produced more species, produced more individuals per sample with using about the same effort. And since we were not able to combine both techniques, which would have extended first the time of the study and of course the expenses of the study, we decided to go with the more prolific method of collection. The question was, did we notice some differences in the amount of leaf litter?
The type of leaf litter?
We didn't compare the composition of the leaf litter. However, we would notice differences in the amount of leaf litter as we went from the forest edge into the forest interior, but we did not look at compositional differences. We might, if we have the time, we certainly are interested in looking at those compositional differences, but we haven't done it yet. Any more questions? Thank you.